Well, good morning, church family. It is so great to see. Literally, as we're doing videos, I'm just taking my time looking at each of your faces and thinking about the times, one, we've prayed for you this week, and even sensing this morning what's on your heart. I wonder what word you need to hear today. And if you're a guest, my name is Pastor Sean. I'm the lead pastor here. We're excited you're here at the perfect time, because the Lord really is doing something really special among us as we have really focused on what is the gospel? Let's get back to it. And what is church supposed to be? And so we've been in this series talking about family and this idea that church is a family. And then in our homes, we also need to do certain things to make sure our families work right. Because God created family for a purpose. And whether it's your church, whether it's a close group of friends, whether it's the home you come from or the home you're creating, there are things that we should be about, and if we'll be about the purposes of God in that area of our life, God will take care of the rest. It really is pressed upon me this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to each of us in a very unique way, and so I'm going to ask you, would you bow your head and take a moment to pray with me? Lord, what each of my friends need today, would you speak to their heart? For you are faithful. And you have brought them here to fill them, to be rich and full of a word that will encourage them and will be life to them. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us now and speak to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, we've been going over these four purposes: to know Jesus, to find freedom. We're going to talk about discover purpose today, and next week we'll talk about make it a difference. And there's a really great truth next week I can't wait to share with you. But I just want to take a moment, if you haven't been with us, to make sure you know where we are. And I actually want to use it to, one, celebrate a little bit, but two, then eat a little humble pie as we get to one of the places I realize I've got to change something I do as the leader. The first purpose of any family is to know Jesus. If you accomplish anything as a family, the one thing you want to do is you want to help those in your family know Jesus, because we come to him for forgiveness and to restore our relationship with God. And the celebration is, as Pastor Brandon has said, literally every Sunday for the past month or so, someone's come to Christ and said, I need to know Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you've taken that step, then next week, find out more about this thing called water baptism, because it's your chance to continue to declare to the world, I know him and he is mine. So we have a lot to celebrate there. Second purpose of any family is to help them find freedom. And God has promised us freedom through Christ, and we want to make sure we're delivered from slavery and addiction, because it's sometimes we stop doing something, but it doesn't mean that it's still not working in our heart, in our head. And so we don't want to just settle for not doing something. We want to have a heart and a mind that is truly free. 2 weeks ago, I had a young man come up to me in mid-20s, and after service, after everything was done, he walked right up to me and said, I'm addicted to heroin, and I need Jesus to set me free. And that was it. I mean, those were his words. And we prayed together, and you could just feel the Lord just come and God's presence fill, and he just praised the Lord, walked out with a smile. Last week he came, walked right after service, came up to me and said, I haven't used all week. I said, amen. And then I told him this. I said, and just remember, though, God doesn't love you any less or more if you did or not. Because that call to know Jesus, that's free. He did everything for you to know him. You're not any less loved if you stumble. But you know what? The Lord loves you so much, he wants to set you free, because you got so much more to do in life. And so we got to celebrate that together. Others who have been part of our church family, it's interesting. One of the places that a lot of people have been speaking to me about and parenting, and the sense of, I just feel like God's freeing me in such an exhausting stage of life to still have joy and to find my purpose in the middle of that. And it's actually what we're going to talk to about today, is to discover purpose. You know, one of the things Sarah and I are convinced as parents is we've got to be really proactive and active in not just having a parenting style that says, hey, if you have a problem, let me know. But instead, we're the parents. We're part of a family. Our job is to help them discover purpose. So we're not just looking at what they're doing. We're thinking about what they need to do next. And so whether we take them on a college visit, in our household, we start college visits in ninth grade. because we want our kids to get a picture of how they should live out high school. And so what we do is we send them, we do a college tour in ninth grade, so they start thinking about that. Ask Rachel when she went to Valley Forge, and everybody's like, oh, we can't wait to, we'll be graduated by the time you get here. You know, it's just, it's a little pretty, but the whole idea, whether it's helping a child in devotions or develop a skill or just finding a mentor who can do something we can't do, that's the idea. We want to help them discover purpose, because one of the big things we're going to talk about today is your healing process will never be complete until you find this. Because you are not healed just to be healed. You're healed because there's a purpose that God wants to activate you in. And so we want to do that today. We're going to talk a lot about that today. Unfortunately, I do have to apologize because I realized there's a way I did not do this well last week. I was a little flustered last week at first service. The TV wasn't working well, and there were a few things that were on my mind as I had already started praying for people. And if you recall, and I don't even want to bring it up, but I asked a few children to leave because it was being a little too loud. And I think we understood, you know, I was just trying to get focused. But honestly, I felt like that sent such a bad message to everybody. So this is your pastor apologizing for that, because I didn't think I represented our heart to be a host well in that time. And, you know, we work really hard to make sure that the nursery and kids ministry is as good as it gets. My wife is part of the nursery. But I also realized that sometimes as a young parent, I mean, your kids are just going to be with you. So, and I tell you what, you probably give more than anybody else, young parents, to be here, because it's an act of God to get everything organized, to get here on time, right? Amen? So I just want to say I'm sorry. I hope you'll forgive me. And if you do, yes, thank you. If you do, I thought, since family is sometimes, and we need to speak that to each other, you know, not just say, oh, it's okay. It's like, no, I forgive you. So if you do forgive me, would you repeat after me? Dear Pastor Sean, we forgive you. Even though you're a knucklehead, we still love you. All right, good. I feel better. Actually, can I grab some water? I need some after that. So you just chuck it. Thank you, Lee. That's so good. God's faithful. All right, so let's talk about this interesting call purpose. Because in the end, honestly, what I did wrong last week was I forgot the purpose of our time. We're saying we're hosts, right? We want everybody in. But then I kind of did something that said, well, maybe not. And so we want to remember our purpose. And here's what we want to talk about today. When you live in your God-given purpose, and we're going to talk a lot about the idea of your design. Okay? When you live in your God-given purpose, it's powerful. Good things, get this, good things multiply in your life when you're living in your purpose. I thought a great example of this was Monday when the tornadoes were around. Wasn't it amazing to see all of our teachers, our first responders, our government leaders get right on it and do whatever they needed to do to make sure all these families or kids were cared for? I mean, that was a group of people living in their purpose, taking care of us in the time of need. If you're a teacher, you want to raise your hand real quick. If you're a first responder, we do that. Can we give them a round of applause for what they did on Monday? Because that was not an easy day. That was a tough day. And you guys were amazing. I was talking to one of our teachers who's a first grader. She said, I think I read about 10 extra books, sang 20 extra songs, and gave out way too much candy. You know, it's like, she was like, but she was going to get done. But that's it. When we're living in our purpose, in the moment of need, it's powerful. And I want you to hear this. Good things multiply in your life. But when we're not living in our purpose and the design, how we were shaped and made to be, when we're not doing that, especially when we're trying to be someone we're not, or trying to live in comparison to other people, or we've got the world's version of what is successful in life, when we don't, it's painful. It's painful. And here's what gets so frustrating about it. The more effort doesn't mean more progress, because you're about the wrong thing. So you're working really hard to fix it, but it's never getting fixed. It's like me trying to fix a leaky faucet, okay? I'm going to try really hard, spend lots of money, and then I'm going to call the repair guy, and he's going to have to fix it anyway, okay? I'm just not designed for it. It's not my, you know, I can grow in it, but we need to see this, because here is the big word for today. And I really feel like It's off of this verse, and then I'll give it to you. The Bible says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared, what's that word? Those two words, in advance for us to do. There's something that God has already created you to be about, and he's designed you a certain way, all right? Some of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us, Pastor Brandon says, lift your hands. They're already up. Some of us are like, okay. You know, you do the barely, you know, hands up kind of. I mean, we're just private and we're to ourselves. But there's a purpose, and it's an eternal purpose. And that's probably the greatest thing the world robs from us, is our sense of the greatness of God in us and through us. Because we get labeled by the world, by our job title, by how much money we make, by the car we drive, by who knows us and how many likes we've got on this and that. And the truth is, you were created to make an eternal difference. Eternal difference. And we've got to get back to that. I think this is God's word to us today. Many of our troubles would go away or lose their power if we were growing in our God-given purpose. I want you to really think about this today, because I feel like it's the word of the Lord for us. Many of our troubles would go away or lose their power if we were growing and living in our God-given purpose. I tell you, the number one piece of advice I usually give when we're talking about parenting and for a student who's always struggling with a self-esteem and the idea of comparing, it's like, get them serving someplace to someone who really needs them. And they'll forget about what the other person at school who has no real connection to them thinks about them. Because really the need is for me to live in my purpose. And when I live in my purpose, I can celebrate your success. Because I'm doing what I'm called to do. And when I'm living in my purpose, I have something to give you in a beautiful, multiplied way when you're going through a right time. Now here's what the stats say. The statistics say that I think it's 67% or so, it's right around the 70, have no idea, 70% of people in church have no idea what their purpose is. Now that's a tragedy, okay? And that's on me, and that's on our staff to make sure that happens. That's why small group fair is going to be so important in a few ways. Because in the end, you need to understand your purpose. God has made it for you, and we want to make sure that you find it. People should go to college to prepare for what? A job, an assignment, a calling. You should go to church for the same thing, to get ready for what you are called to do. You do not have to work to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus has done all the work for you. But when you come to him, he's got some work for you to do that you are going to enjoy doing, though it's going to cost you a lot. So we want to look at this. I love Psalm 139, 14 through 16. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. What's that word? Before one of them came to be. Did you know that God created your purpose before he created you? God created your purpose before he created you. He didn't make you and say, what am I going to do with this guy? No, he saw the world. And he saw the people that were going to live in a certain time frame, in a certain place. And he knew his purpose to bring them to himself. And he said, I'll make you and you and you. And we all do it differently. And one of the things we're going to look at today is the idea that God, because we each have a unique purpose, then we're all shaped a certain way. God shaped you like no one else for a unique eternal purpose that no one else has. This is, what I try to tell students a lot. It's like, you can't make a difference without being different. Of course, we live in a world that says you better be like everybody else. It's like, no, I don't think that's biblical. I think the biblical model is you're different to make a difference. Because God brings these experiences into our lives, and he gives us spiritual gifts and different things so that we can do something that nobody else can do for him. And yet, most of us spend our time looking around saying, I wish I was like her. I wish I was like him. And their Facebook life, yeah, which we all understand, right? Nobody is doing as well as they look on Instagram, right? I mean, we do know that, right? Okay, that is just, welcome to the highlight reel, okay? That's what that is. But we look at, I wish I was like that. And we've got to get out of that and understand that each one of us have a purpose. And if we will live in that purpose, everything about our life will change and multiply. Rick Warren in a purpose-driven church, they came out with this book, and they're teaching at their church. We do something a little like this in our Keep Growing. But he says, look, you've been shaped by God with some spiritual gifts. There are things God's put in you that until you know Jesus and start to live in, until you live in those, there's no way you're going to see all you can do. He's given you a heart. There are things you're passionate for that nobody else is passionate for, right? And, you know, my wife loves kids. And at the end of every Sunday when we go home to eat, I talk about the sermon. She talks about the kids. We talk longer about the kids than we talk about the sermon. And that's part of her passion. I love kids from a distance. I love them. They're awesome. I love them that they're yours. My kids, all about, every 2 seconds. I watch my kids' lives like other people watch a football game. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. You know, I'm excited every second about them. But my heart is like, you know what? Yeah, maybe not kids' ministry. All right? Each of you have abilities. Here's what I see a lot. So many people miss their professional abilities, and they think it's disconnected to what God wants them to do in life, or the sports they play, or things like that. Like, that's all part of what God's put in you. He's given you a personality. And a lot of times we've got to come to Christ to see that come out again in a real way, because we've been in survival mode, so we're basically in shutdown mode. And then he's given us experiences. Now, if you're like me, not all these things have just a good side to them, right? I've got some weaknesses in my personality. There's some things I can't do. There's some things I should care about that I don't. And there's some experiences that have been really hard. But here's what I love about what Jesus does in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, the good and the bad, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to what? His purpose. When you're pursuing his purpose, even the hard and bad things in your life turn into good for you and for the world around you. That's what Jesus does. And what we need to understand is there's a place for each of us, no matter the experiences we've been through and the things we feel like, yeah, I don't know. You are looking at the person that in sixth grade cried in front of his class when he had to give a book report. That is not a good thing to do in sixth grade, to cry in front of everybody in your class. But I was so deathly afraid of speaking in public, and I would tell you that was my personality. I didn't have the ability. But thank the Lord, as I begin to know Jesus more and then find freedom for a lot of the things I was struggling with, I started discovering this purpose. And guess what? I didn't just find freedom for my past. I found it for my future. Like, I was free to do this because God was with me. And so even our bad experiences, God can use for good, because in the end, we're all shaped for an important reason. Now, I like to think of it this way. If you know me, right? I love this thing right here, right? This is my favorite. I love that. And I love basketball. But if I tried to play basketball with this, okay, that'd get a little frustrating. And if I tried to play basketball with this, that would probably break something. If I tried to play basketball with... No, I'm joking. I'm like, just a joke. Just kidding. I wasn't really... All right. It's not that there is anything wrong with that bowling ball, but if I use it in the wrong way, something can break. Right? And there are things in you and me that we're made to do, but especially when we're following the world, when especially we're trying to find our self-worth and the vision for our life in the world and who they are, and I wish I was like them, we tend to do things that create a lot of pain in our lives because we were never made to do that. And we want to look at that, especially in this area of healing, because if we don't discover our purpose, we will never finish healing because we are addressing symptoms that are not the source. All right? We need to fix that bowling ball. Look what the bowling ball did. It's like, it's not the bowling ball's issue. You can try to fix it so you can bounce it. It wasn't made to bounce, all right? And there are things in your life and mine that if we'd start getting about our purpose, we'd discover some other things wouldn't break so much, all right? Now, because I enjoy basketball, that means I'm often at the physical therapist in the doctor's office, all right? Because I'm always hurting something. And one of the things that always happens when I go is, you know, a physical therapist will be like, okay, let's see your flexibilis. And, you know, and I'm always like, I got pretty tight hamstrings. Like, I'm, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I show them, like, this is it right here. That's it. That's all I got. All right. That's as far down as I can bend. And they're like, wow, you really do. And so I'll go in there and say, hey, my back, man, it's really hurting. And what are they going to tell me? It's your hamstrings. It's like, yeah, because your hamstrings are tight, so it's pulling on your back. And the reason your back is hurting isn't because your back. It's actually because of these guys back here. And what the doctors call that, physical therapists call that, is referred pain. It's the idea that the place of your pain is not the source of your problem. I want you to think about this. Referred pain. The place of your pain is not the source of your problem. So I could sit there and massage this thing all I want, but until I stretch these guys out, I'm going to feel the same pain. And there are a lot of us in the room, okay? We've got a lot of referred pain in our life. There are things that aren't working in our lives, and we're trying to fix them, but they're not actually the source of our problem. The source of our problem is we're not living in God's purpose. We don't know it. We don't understand it. So we try to be like everybody else or do it the way everybody else is doing it, and we're ignoring that God created us and shaped us to do it a certain way. And most of us are spending a lot of time addressing problems that would go away if we'd address the real source of the problem, that we're not living according to our purpose. And so I want us to look at a few places where pain pops up when we're not living according to our purpose. The first place that pain definitely pops up when we're not living to our purpose is in relationships. Someone say amen to that one, right? I mean, we all get this one right off the bat. That we tend, first of all, if we're not living our relationship the right way, okay? Dating's not marriage. So we don't do things married people do when we're dating. Everybody understand where I'm at, right? All right? And you can work on your relationship all you want, but if you're not living in the purpose of what dating really is, have fun at it, but you're not addressing the real source of the issue. Okay? So there's just, what is that? I told you this story about when I was 10 years of marriage, and I always prayed, Lord, use me, use me, use me. And I was forgetting that my purpose, my design, and my identity, that's what I was married. And when I started changing my prayer to use us, everything, including our adoption story, happened as we continued to grow together, because that was the purpose, that was the design of my life at that time. And so we've got to remember this. The big thing most of us do in this room, all right, including me, is I know I'm shaped for a purpose like no one else, so I'm designed a certain way, but I tend to try to press my design and try to assume the way I think and my personality on everybody else. And how does that work with relationships? Not well, all right? Not well. Our staff just did the DISC profile. Anybody do the DISC profile? You've done the, like, you know, work behavior, kind of like, that's how you do it. I'm a D, right? I'm a doer. I'm like, get it done. I want results. We've got a lot of C's in our staff, which means they're very conscientious, and they're always very, let's check all things. I'm a D. I'm like, let's just get it done. Who cares about the details? They're like, no, no, no. It's like, and I've got to think, okay, when I'm working with other people, I need to make sure I don't just do it from my vantage point. I have to do it from theirs as well. I have to learn, as the Bible says, to serve them and prefer them. Now, most of us have heard about this one, right? The five love languages, all right? And the whole idea behind it is that I tend to express love in the way I want love, all right? So there are five love languages, if you've never heard it. There's acts of service that says, I love you. Affirming words, quality time, physical touch, and gifts. And each one of them, people are designed a certain way to like one. I have already confessed as a pastor, your pastor, his love language, and this is not a ploy to get any, but I love gifts. That's just the way I am. I'm just shallow and materialistic, and Jesus is working on me, okay? It's part of how I grew up without any of them, so I really like them now. All right, my wife is acts of service. So I've said this before, but for those of you that didn't hear it, So my wife's acts of service, I'm gifts, I go away on a trip, right? And I miss and I love my wife, so what do? I buy her a gift. Sarah misses and loves me, so what does she do? She washes and cleans my car inside and out. She drives that car to pick me up at the airport. As I'm coming to see her and I get in the car, what am I thinking about? I can't wait to give you the gift. What is she thinking about? What a loser. He hasn't even noticed that I washed and cleaned and not made one comment right at all about all the work I did. And we would get in fights because we loved each other so much and couldn't wait to share our love language with each other until we figured it out. And now every time I come from a trip, I go, did you clean the car? You're awesome. Goes much better. Okay. That's the whole issue. But the whole thing is we've got to recognize that we're designed differently. We just got to recognize it. Okay. And once we do that, then guess what? Things multiply in our lives. What Sarah and I could do together multiplies. Because now we understand each other and serve each other in that way. I'd encourage you, whether it's a marriage, a dating relationship, family, parents, when's the last time? Like, you know, who's my kid and what's their love language? Like, you can get all that stuff. Just Google it. Super important. Now, number two, we find a lot of pain in our finances when we do not live according to purpose. Now, Luke 16:13 says this. Jesus is talking to the disciples and crowd. He says, no servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. So here's the biblical principle. Money's a servant, not a master in your life. It's never supposed to be a master. We don't do things according to money. We do things according to God. A matter of fact, money is supposed to be a servant of God's purposes in your life, not a master over your life. But what happens, since we think money seems to be power and control, it's how we feel like we've got everything taken care of, we tend to use money like a master instead of a servant. So, literally, you know, our family didn't have a lot growing up, and when we finally got enough money, that was just kind of, you know, usual bills and challenges, things like that. I mean, if I was sick, I didn't go to the doctor. Why? I ain't giving any of my money to that. And literally, I would rather my health serve money than money serve my health, which is all backwards, right? Because in the end, what we want to do is money is supposed to be a servant. So there's this thing called a budget. And you know what a budget is in theological terms, like in spiritual? It's go tell your servant what to do. You're going to do this over here, and you're going to do that over there, and you're going to do this over there. And that's actually why you should, you know, in some expression, budget your money. Because the real way that you plan your finances, and by the way, Financial Peace University, still possible to go. I highly encourage you to go to it if you want to get out of financial pain and chaos. But in the end, you know what we do, and this is what I train our couples in premarital to do? Go away and pray about what you think financially God would have you accomplish in the next 2-3 years for you, your family, for the things you care about. Obviously, tithing, non-negotiable there. Like, the first always goes to him. All right, and write that. But now come together and compare notes and see where you've already in agreement and see the places where you need to talk and pray about some more. And then when you're done with that, pray and decide a final list of things you want to get done in the next 2 or 3 years. Short-term, long-term goals, kind of however you want to do it. Now, once you've got that list, now make your budget and make your money accomplish those goals. And what we just did there was we made God the master over money instead of saying, well, you know, if I have some money, I'm going to do that. It's like, no. What's God calling you to do? When God called Sarah and I to adopt internationally, there was no way anything in our budget said we could do that, right? But we knew we heard from the Lord. We sacrificed what we do, and then we counted on God for the rest. And guess what? Money served God's purpose with no ill effect. It was amazing. So we've got to turn that around, because when we're not living in our purpose there, money's purpose is to be a servant for what God wants to do in your life and through your life, obviously. All right? There's a lot of pain there, so I want to encourage you. This is going to be great. We're going to do a great series in November called No Excuse November. All right? Can't wait. And this is going to be a great time to really say, hey, I want to just, I mean, we start now, But we're really going to, as a church, say, let's really start walking according to what God's asked us to walk through. Next one, obviously a little bit of a close to home one for me, is church pain. When we forget our purpose, there's a lot of pain in church. And what I want to say here is when we forget that we have the same purpose, but we have a different part to play in the body, we have a different part of design, we need to realize that a lot of times, since it's about God, we can get kind of holier than thou. Oh, I can't believe they don't want to do this, or they don't. Why is nobody showing up to the one thing I'm doing? You know, I mean, because God definitely told me to do it. It's like, he did totally tell you to do it because there's some people you need to reach. But you're one piece of the body, and you're going to reach a certain group of people for that piece of the body. And that's what you got to do. But when churches don't realize that, everybody gets huffy and puffy and like, well, I don't need them. And you know, it's like, no, you're missing it. All right, 1 Corinthians 12. God has combined the members of the body so that there should be no division. Our differences and our different parts, they're supposed to bring us together, not push us apart in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So if we have any of our elders in the service, can you stand real quick? Any of our elders? I know we got Doug. All right. Winston's elder in training right now. Pat. Okay. We've got a whole bunch. There's Sabrina. We are a very different lot of people, are we not? And you haven't seen all of us, all right? And we come from totally different vantage points. But the thing that's really beautiful, there's Diane. Sorry, I missed you over there, Miss Diane. The thing we know is that we're all made differently, and that when we come together, the big picture comes into focus, right? And so, one, thank you for all the ways you serve. Can we just say thank you to all our elders? They pray and carry us in their hearts. You may be seated. But God's trying to bring a diverse family together. He wants everybody in one place and all the world to say, we don't get together like you guys get together. What's the difference? Jesus is the difference. And we've all matured to understand that we've all got a piece and none of us are the whole. And I want to encourage you, this thing we do called Cornerstone Family, I always say when we've got our dessert night coming up this Wednesday, for those of you who haven't done it and done Keep Growing, I always say, look, Cornerstone's a family. And in a family, nobody gets everything they want. Because families don't work that way. Family, everybody gives, and in the beauty of that, we all get more than we expected. And so what we want to do is we want to be people that understand that we could avoid a lot of pain in church if we'd understand, let's each live in our purpose, celebrate each other's purposes, and learn to really be a servant to hear and understand something new we've never had. Can you get an amen for that? Amen. All right. I mean, if I was really bold, I'd say, all right, all the Republicans raise your hand, all the Democrats raise your hand, but that's I don't think we can recover from that, so we'll just leave that alone. But it's like, hey, let's see each other's purposes, what's the story behind that, and then let's learn to come together and offer the world something that it doesn't have. All right, last one, and on my heart the most probably this morning, is that when we're not living in our God-given purpose, we really struggle with hopelessness. Because it's his purpose that gives us hope. It's his purpose that even when we hit hard things, it's all right. There's something still further to go. The Apostle Paul, I've been hard-pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. I've been perplexed and confused, but I'm not in despair. I've been persecuted, but I know I'm not abandoned. I've been struck down, but I'm not destroyed. Why? Because I've got a purpose, and I know that he's going to fulfill that purpose in me. I press on toward the goal until I get there, because God is going to be faithful. What he began in me, he's going to do what? He's going to bring it to completion. And I might struggle and find all sorts of things that want to discourage me, but if I am certain about my purpose in my life, I will overcome them. Because God's purpose is way bigger than the pain that's trying to keep me back. I want to encourage you. The vast majority, literally research has been done on this. So many church members get stuck in step number two. They know Jesus, and then they're looking for freedom, but they spend their whole life there. And the one thing they're missing is you got to invest in your God-given purpose. You need to discover your purpose because you're healed for that. So your healing will never complete until you start walking in your God-given purpose. And God has that for you. Of course, with all of that, the question is, well, how do we do that? All right? One, I'd encourage you to be part of Keep Growing. We talk about spiritual gifts in there and get you started. It's not a completion. It's a beginning. Your purpose is always going to be tied to the local church, because the local church is the one thing that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And so if you want to change the world, it's part of the local church that you do it. Not because everything you do is in the local church, like in the building, but it's through us. We pray together. You might be a business person out doing international things, and we're praying for you and we're supporting you. And it's because the local church has that kind of authority. But really, Jesus told us how we find it. We mentioned this verse last week. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, know Jesus, he must deny himself, find freedom, because we're the one who's got ourselves. We can't free ourselves from us. And then take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus came to earth to do what? To pick up his cross. He knew. So even in Garden Gethsemane, when he was at the point, he was like, God, Father, if we don't have to do this, I really not like to do this. But his purpose and the presence of God sustained him. We'll talk about presence next week. But it was his right to say, look, there's a place you and I, we've all got a cross that we're meant to pick up. It's a place that we're going to give our lives for people who don't even know or care. Because God's passionate about doing it. Some of you are doing it in your role, in your offices, driving your truck, doing your service work, teaching, nursing, whatever it is. Like, there's a place you're supposed to give your life for the world. And it's supposed to be connected to Jesus. And when we start to say, yes, I want to take up my cross. I want to find that. I'm willing to not just do what's urgent. Most of us live by pressure instead of purpose in our life. Most of us live according to the pressure we feel instead of the things God said be about this, right? And we need help. So what do we need to do? We just follow Jesus. Now, you'll notice that tomorrow we start reading the Gospel of Luke. I really encourage you, if you can, would you consider reading with us? You'll see the video teachings, like we actually teach you what each of the chapters mean. But as we follow him, when you get to Luke, starting in chapter 9, the main image of Luke is the road to Jerusalem, because Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem. So everything between Luke 9 and up to the Passion Week, is the context is a road, all right? And in the Greek, the word for road is kletheo. And this word follow is akletheo. A is just a particle of union. Kletheo is road. Jesus is saying, if you want to find your purpose, then get on the road with me and start walking. That's what he's saying, all right? And it's this picture. I don't know if Jesus had that beautiful hair, but in the end, it's like we're on the road and we're headed. And in the end, I want to head with Jesus to wherever he wants to take me. That's my big passion. Jesus, I just want to go where you're going. I want to be about. I want to give my life like you're giving about. If you'll do this, God will start to unfold his purpose for you. Because you can do this even today, and it looks a lot like this. All right, this is our home group we've had for over 10 years, right here. And you know what? We're doing the same. It's the same picture as this right here. Same picture. We're just walking together. And Bill and Lynette, we walked them all the way to being missionaries in Thailand, because God put it on their heart. We just walked with them, and they discovered their purpose there. Patton and Dawn, not only have they done some amazing things as a business leader and as a couple, but even adopting other children. They walked us through our adoption process. Matt and Donna are here too. They're part of our group over there. And, you know, we've walked them as they've become parents, and we kind of had already been down the road a little bit and could offer some support. And there's Miss Angie, who's here today, and her husband Terry. And Terry went to be with the Lord, and we got to be, as a church family, we just walked. We just walked together. And just say, hey, there's still purpose. There's still a plan. There's still goodness. And I want to encourage you that how we find our purpose is we follow Jesus one step at a time, one relationship at a time. And we're about to have you guys go down to the small group fair. There's the shirts. There's refreshments down there, I think. And but the whole idea is, the way I find my purpose, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, the way I start making a difference is I find someone else and I take a step with them, walking with Jesus all the way to a place to give my life. And so I want to encourage you. We live in an isolated world, and we can have a very individual faith. But what God really wants us to do is to be better together. Last week, we said it this way. It's okay not to be okay, right? We just, in some of those small groups, a place just take off the mask, say, by the way, this is how I'm doing. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to be alone. Not according to Genesis 2:17 and Genesis 1:26. God made you to be in relationship. And I want to encourage you to take a step this week. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to be alone. God designed life to get better together. And I hope that you'll pray about that now. Follow me. It's all about taking the next step. And remember, if you'll take a step in your purpose, he'll multiply what happens through it. So I want to encourage you to do that. We're going to take a moment to pray. And if you would you just stand with me? We are actually letting you out early. That's a mighty move of God right there. I'm early, okay? And what we'd like you to do is take that extra time and head down to the fair and talk to some people about maybe a place that God has for you. I'm going to ask my leaders who are agreeing with people in prayer if they would come up to the front. If at the end of this service you're just feeling a call to, one, know Jesus, because you realize, like, I'm living my life for everybody else and all these different miles, and Jesus is who I need, then you can have these leaders pray with you at the end, and they'll lead you just a simple prayer. If you have something you want to pray for physically, if you want to pray for somebody else today, you can join them up front. But what we'd love you to do today is not just have someone who will pray for you in this moment. We would love the result of today be that you would find someone in small group who will pray for you every day. Because one of the commitments our small group leaders make is that if you're in their small group, they pray for you by name every day during the semester. So I want to encourage you, one step at a time, right? It'd be nice to jump all the way to the end and be done, but maybe you could take one step today. Sign up for one small group, give it a shot. You know, all my introverts in the room, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but, you know, just step. Just step with a little faith and let the Lord speak to you. So let's pray, and then we're just going to dismiss and let you take some steps of faith today. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for how you have saved us. Thank you that it's a free gift. And I pray that my friends here today, especially maybe a guest or someone who's been here for a while but's never really made that step, that they would come and say, I want to know Jesus today. I pray that you would bless them and that you would fill them with the courage and a faith to step out. I pray that you would bless each of my friends here as they go. And Lord, as they consider what's on their heart, I'm going to ask you to take a moment of silent prayer and ask the Holy Spirit, what's a place that you need strengthened in your life? You prayed about this 2 weeks ago. What's a place you need strengthened in your life? And as you do that, then I'm going to invite you to finish that prayer and then go downstairs and see if there's a group for that. And just take that step today. Just take a moment of prayer for yourself. So, Lord, we thank you that you have called us to pick up our cross, pick up our purpose, pick up the thing that it doesn't seem like we have enough strength for. Pick it up, and we'll find that you're strengthening us. Lord, we want to give our lives for this world, because one day heaven is going to be so much more than this world. The one thing we want to do is we want to give our lives to fulfill an eternal purpose for you. And I pray right now, I just pray right now, each person here would know that, would know their purpose. I'm going to ask if you're here and just as your heads are bowed, if you would just say, Pastor Sean, particularly pray for me. I want to know my purpose and I just don't understand it. Would you just slip up a hand right now so we can just make that, we can just make that call before God? Yeah, a lot of us. Lord, would you begin to show us our purpose in you? Use us and guide us. And thank you, dear Lord, for not only the victory we'll have, our healing will accelerate as we continue to walk in our purpose, but Lord, Let us be your answer to someone who used to be just like us. Let us have the joy of seeing that all the pain we went through and all the things that were so hard, may you turn it all for good, that we have a message of hope for someone who needs it. Lord, your word says that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came to give life and to its full potential, to its full purpose. And I pray that you would do that. I pray each of my friends here would walk this week knowing that they have a purpose much greater than anything they see. Give them a love and a grace to reach and to help the people you've called them to reach. And together, Lord, make us serve and glorify you better. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, feel free to come forward if you want someone to agree with you in prayer. It's been great to be with you. Make sure you head downstairs and enjoy the small group fare.